a specific moment to recognize the charter members that are still actively serving here at the church. So if I mention your name, would you please stand? Jesse Bennett, would you stand? We'll save the applause for everybody, okay? I'm glad you're excited about Jesse. Lauren Heath, would you stand? Milton Jones, we're working you today, aren't we, Milton? Kurt Moore and Robin Moore, Stan and Fran Stanfield, and Bobby Thomas. Let's give these all folks a good hand. Thank you. All right, young people, age 4 to 12, you can head back. I think you're going to get to go outside today. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So head on out. No adults, you can't go with them. But it's all right. We also had on the slides at the beginning an in memoriam of folks who helped, were charter members who are now with the Lord. And we had that on the loop before. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to borrow one in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, please let me know. We'll be glad to get you one after the service. We want everybody to have a Bible. As we think about the 20th anniversary, what's going to keep Community Baptist here for 20 more years? Now, I sure hope the Lord comes before then. How about you? And the truth is, there are a good many of us in this room that if there is another 20 years, we're not going to be here. It's just the truth. So what does that mean? Well, as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to look at when the Lord is real. And the reason I entitled it this way is because that's the only way this church is going to be going. You know, there are a lot of people. I talked to a man this week, invited him, used to be vital at this church. And this was his answer. Do you know how people have treated me? He wasn't talking about church people, because he went very specific. Do you know how some people have treated me this past year? And I looked at him and I said, what's that got to do with anything? I said, see, the Lord isn't real. Because it's not about the people around us. It's about Him. And thank God that He brings people together. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But God has got to be real in our lives. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be hard times. But He doesn't change. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 this morning. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, verse 3 is our key verse this morning. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You know, if you were to ask somebody what a church looks like, most people would describe a building. I love this building. And boy, you want to see a building built for Christmas. Wait till this building is built for it. And we do even more with it, seems like every year. We add more to it. But if you ask people, some people would say a classic colonial look, maybe with a steeple, a pillars with pews, or some would think of a more contemporary warehouse look with dark walls and ceilings and different things. But that would be missing the mark, because a church is not a building. A church is the people inside. You know, one of the things I tell people, and when we were up in Central Pennsylvania, we built a building. I said, we are not, we're building a building, but it's not about building the building. It's about what's going to go on inside. That's what's important in a church. You know, in some communist countries, churches can have to assemble in the woods for fear of persecution. But there's still a church because the group of believers have gathered for worship. We've had a good time here in the history, and we're going to hear more, and not as long, but we're going to hear a little bit more a little bit later. But the thing is, where are we going? What are we trying to be? And the truth is, our verses give us direction. Now, in order to appreciate the verses, sorry about that, in order to need some help, In order to appreciate these verses, we have to understand this church at Thessalonica. You know, we think of Surrey. They had to go through all the hoops with the governments, and I get all that. But when this church was started, the Apostle Paul started it on his second missionary journey. And when he started it, he and Silas had to leave town because they were scared they were going to die. So this church starts and is under incredible persecution. You can read about it in chapter 2, especially, of 1 Thessalonians. You can read about the persecution. Not now, but we'll get there. You know, you can read it. And what you find is these are people who the religious groups there, not just the Jews who were against Christ, but even the Romans were against what they believed because they believed only in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is what we believe. They would lose their jobs. They would lose their homes. They lost all social status that they might have had. And all, listen, because they had trusted Christ as their Savior. And yet what we see in this, if you were to look for a model church in the New Testament, this would be your church. So do you know what that tells me? Hard times don't keep people from having a good church. In fact, sometimes they can help. Because you know you need Him more than you've ever needed Him. And as we look at verse 3, we see the key to having the kind of church that God can bless when the Lord is real. Number one, I want you to notice there is trust without limits. There is trust without limits. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, remembering, the Apostle Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. That is trust without limits. Instead of allowing persecutions and difficulties to keep them from serving the Lord, they simply continued on by faith because they had trusted in the work that Christ did on the cross by shedding His sinless blood and taking our place in judgment. They could simply continue on by faith. When we heard these men, and we've heard others this morning, earlier today, they talked about how God moved. And let me tell you what happened with each and every one of them. You listening to me? Every one of them, you could see, they were choked up a little bit. And you know why? Because they saw the goodness of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather live like that or like most of us who are only striving for comfort? We're only striving for just, okay, I want to make it as easy as possible. Well, here's the problem. God doesn't. God did not send His Son to make your life easy. God sent His Son in order for us to trust Him to do things that we could have never done without Him, that are eternal and have meaning. Their trust was not based on whether everything was perfect. It was based on the promises of God and God's character. The fact that He is willing to save our souls and to make us a part of His family when we deserve nothing makes us trust Him. I can trust Him and live by faith, because his power, his goodness, his wisdom, and his love are without limits. I have shared many times, my life verse is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, it's not that God doesn't want to work. It isn't that God isn't working. The problem is we aren't allowing him to work through us by faith the way he wants to. You see, these people, it was trust without limits. One man said this, when God is doing something wonderful, he starts with the difficult. When God is doing something miraculous, he starts with the impossible. These people did not limit God. And the way they did not limit God was by not limiting their faith to a certain area. We at Community Baptist have seen lives changed by trusting Christ. We have seen families. There are some, and we have some folks, if they could have been here, they would, but they had made commitments a long time ago, tell you that their families are better because they got saved and they're a part of Community Baptist Church. Some people would tell you their finances are better. Why? Because they chose to use them God's way. And we should trust him without limits in every area of our lives. And may I tell you, this church will not go forward unless we are willing to trust him again without limits. Oh, we have the building. We have the property. Thank God what wasn't mentioned was 3 or 4 years ago, we paid off this building. Amen? And a lot of people gave generously to see this building paid off. A couple of men, in fact, it was Kurt and Milton, who said to me when it was paid off, they said, we did not think we would be living when that building got paid off. But we see the building and we see the things. We've put lights in the parking lot. The shed was here, but we added a carport. In fact, we just put stone in for that this week. We have a lighted sign, and we're using the pine grove now. We got electric out there. We got a whole bunch of things going on. And all of a sudden, we think, man, we got it good. And by the way, we do. But that's not where we stop. We're resting, and we're to rest in him. But folks, let me say this. We're to keep on going. We need to support more missionaries. We need to reach more people, and our trust needs to be without limits. But secondly, not only do we see trust without limits, what we see is love-motivated service. Look at the middle of verse 3. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Look what it says, and labor of love. Now that word love, there are several types of love that you will learn about in the New Testament. There is erotic love, the word eros. That's a sensual type of love. There is phileo, which is like a brotherly love. Philadelphia, that's where the name, and I lived in the area for 12 years. It's not living up to its name. But that's a brotherly love. But then you have what's called agape love. It's the highest form of love. It is the love of God. It is a love that gives without the expectation of anything in return. It's a love without any expectation of return. It's unselfish. Because our Savior did the same thing. Yes, we're to serve one another. But we are to show kindness to the poor. We are to show oppressed to the hurting. Kindness to the poor, the oppressed and the hurting. The people that the world tend to overlook. One way our love for God is revealed is by our active love for others. You cannot love people the way you ought to until you love God the way you should. One of the things I've always told my children and kind of help them out a little bit. I said, there were times maybe of a little bit of tension, a little something. And this is what I said to him. I said, I love God more than I love you. My wife does her devotions every morning when I want breakfast or I want something. But those devotions come first. And you know why? Because she'll love me more the more she loves God. Oh, that sounds selfish, doesn't it? But it's true. You see, our service, when you love God, you know, love God, we no longer are consumers. What's in it for me? But we become participants. You see, when people get bitter, it's simply because God did not fill their expectations. That isn't the question. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Who's running our lives? Are we or is He? And see, when we focus on the cross, when we focus on salvation, when we think of all the blessings God has given us, our service should be love motivated. Man, the kids can get noisy. Thank God we have kids at the church. Amen. And we have even more. Just some of them weren't here today. We thank the Lord for that. But there are times that it's a struggle. But see, I will continue to serve the Lord whether my personal circumstances are good or bad, because God is always good. And truth is always truth. You know what? I'll come, even if I don't feel like it. I will serve, even if I don't feel like it. You know, even if I'm not honored, I will encourage others even when I'm hurting. Why? Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, just a couple pages, in verse 3, he says this, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you," charity is another word for love, "every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Notice what it said. It says your faith grew exceedingly, and your charity or your love one toward another abounded. There's a cause and effect there. The more you know about God, the more faith, and we've already hit this point, the more faith that you have, the more faith that you are expressing, guess what's going to happen? It will turn into love for others. I thank the Lord for a group. I am a no-drama guy. Now, what's interesting is we had 2 boys and 3 girls. So the one thing I had to put down in our house, I said, there's no such thing as drama in this house. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. But I would go up to them if it was getting to a heightened pitch, and I'd say, no drama. What do you need? Let's cut to the chase. We don't need all this stuff. Well, sometimes it is needed, isn't it? But you know, when people are serving by love and not selfish motives, it's amazing how well we can get along, isn't it? How little friction. There's going to be friction because people are people, right? We're all just sinners. Most of us saved by grace, but we're sinners. But when our service is love motivated, I'm not going to be as offended as I would be, because guess what? Even though you might work in the nursery, even though you might teach a Sunday school class or work in junior church, you might do music, you might work as an usher, you might do something else. We're not doing it for the people, we're doing it for Jesus. And my question is He pleased? Is he pleased with my service? Is he pleased with my response? Is he pleased with the quality of work that I have put in? That's what matters to me. If you don't like it, number one, we're to trust without limits. Number two, we are to have love-motivated service. But the third thing we have to have is unending confidence. Look at the end of verse 3, if you would, please. The end of verse 3. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Now look what it says. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Do you notice it says, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus? What is that saying? It's saying this, that we have an enduring hope based on full assurance that a better life is ahead. You know, it just seems like there are times, and they've been recent in my life, where it just seems like it's one bad news thing after another. How many of you understand what I'm saying? It just seems to come. Now, obviously, I need to deal with the issues that come up. But if that's all I'm ever focused on, my life's going to be miserable, and some people are that way. They're just miserable. They're wallowing in self-pity. Wallowing in this and wallowing in that. These people lost their jobs, their homes. They were under persecution. Some of them thought they were going to die. And they were serving the Lord. Why? Very simple. They knew there was a better life ahead. They knew that based on the fact, hey, listen, Jesus rose from the grave. And before he left, he said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you know what? They were just crazy enough to believe him. Now, it wasn't crazy. They had enough faith to believe him. And so in the midst of the difficulty and in the midst of the turmoil, what did they do? They served him and they served others with love. It's time that we got out of the mud of wallowing in self-pity and started looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord said, for I know the thoughts I have toward you. I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is he saying? This is a perfect plan for each of us that will be lived by faith, service, and hope. One of our members got really disappointing news this week. And so I texted because I knew they were going to find out some things, and I texted and asked how it went, and it didn't go the way they had hoped. And I guarantee you, had I been in their shoes, I'd have been disappointed. But I want you to hear what this person said. And I quote, I know God has a plan for me. We allow God's timing to rule, not ours. I've said this 100 times in this church. God has never answered my prayers when I wanted him to answer them. Because he knew the right time I needed the prayers that he answered, and he knew I didn't need the prayers answered that he didn't answer. The older we get, the more heartbreak there is, the more difficulty there is, and God has allowed that in our lives for a reason. But my unending confidence is in the fact that one day, I'm not going to have to worry about it anymore. One day the blessing is going to come. Our confidence is not in our situations. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:19, and I was talking about Jesus, and this is what the author said, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Listen, the life just keeps us going up and down. We have a dock near us where we live with some boats, and we went down and the winds were blowing a few days ago, and man, those boats were rocking, but they had one thing, is they were tethered to poles that kept them in place. Gone out fishing. I don't know how many of you have been over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. I'm talking about the one that connects the eastern and western shores of Maryland. But it's a pretty cool bridge. I've gone fishing in between the two spans. And I've been there. In fact, I have some pictures somewhere. I wish I could find them. And what do? We anchored the boat. A lot of you have lived around the water a lot. Some of you have boats. What do you got to do? You got to anchor it. Doesn't home, I'd undo everything by getting a Big Mac. Thank the Lord. Two all beef patties. You know, I could go on. I'm not going to do it. Most of you know it. Special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Can I get an amen on that? Thank you. But I'd go home, and we were just dating, and I'd go home and get a shower, and I'd get ready because I was going to see the one that I cared so much about. And she didn't have to do anything because she was naturally beautiful. Why'd I do it? Because I was going to see the one I loved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to meet Him face to face. You're not going to be able to turn. You're going to look Him in the eyes. We need to prepare for that now. My unending confidence is this is not how it ends. Excuse me. This is not how it ends. But what my job is to be loving and to be faithful while I am waiting for Him. One man said it this way, faith rests on the past. Love works in the present. And hope looks to the future. That sums that verse up, doesn't it? What is your hope for the future? What is your hope? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure? Can I just share one more thing with you before we finish? Let's go down to verse 8. We went from a trust without limits to love-motivated service to unending confidence to an expanded burden. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Do you know what the Apostle Paul was saying? Now remember, he went on 3 missionary journeys, and he'd go place to place, and not just stopping to give the gospel, not just telling people that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, but the gospel, but to set up churches. Well, you know what the Apostle Paul was finding? That these people in Thessalonica, though as persecuted as they were still so excited about what God had done in their lives that they wanted everybody else to know. So Paul's saying, I'm going to these areas, and they say, those people in Thessalonica have already told us. They're excited about this. They've already shared with us about this. Some liked it, some didn't. Didn't matter, because truth is truth. When the Lord is real in your life, there's going to be an expanded burden in your life. Do you know what they realized? It was just too good to keep to themselves. Like sounding a trumpet, they were sharing the good news and the grace of God. Their circumstances and their enemies failed to shake their faith. If their quality of life wasn't better than the difficulties they were facing, they wouldn't have shared Christ and what he had done for them. Listen, God's blessings are greater than our struggles. To get this place started, it was a struggle. Did you hear that this morning? Did you hear that? I heard that. Ask anybody who was a part of the beginning of this work, and I hope even now, and they wouldn't have traded it for anything in the world. Because God became more real than he'd ever been. Instead of using our difficulties as an excuse to quit, we need to use our difficulties as a reason to know him better. Because what we will find is his character is everything he said. He is not the God that you want him to be. He is the God we need him to be. He is God, and to him goes the glory. 20 years. We're actually a little over 20 years, but we chose today, and until I told you that, you probably didn't know. We're just a little over, a few months. What's going to keep this church going is people whom the Lord is real, who aren't going to give up, who aren't going to, who might have to sacrifice, who are going to serve with love to others and to brethren. But it all starts with one thing. And Paul mentioned it at the beginning, and that's this. He called them brethren. That means they were a part of it. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And see, a lot of people say, well, I'm a child of God. No, you were made in the image of God. There's no doubt about that. That's why we believe every life is precious, including the unborn. We believe that. You become a child of God, the book of Galatians tells us, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people were going through intense difficulties, and yet they could do it with a smile on their face, and they could do it cheerfully. Why? Because God was greater than their circumstances. They knew that because they had trusted Christ as their Savior, that they were going to heaven, that Christ was coming back. And guess what? He didn't come in their lifetime. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul makes it clear that Jesus is coming, that the rapture of the church is going to occur. It didn't happen in their lifetime. There's every reason to believe it could happen in our lifetime. We believe in the imminent return of Christ, but he didn't come. So what's that mean? When they took their last breath on this earth, they took their first breath in heaven. And there are people who are living purpose. Listen, if your purpose in life is to have a good job and to have a home and a car and things, that those are not wicked things. If that's all you're living for, your life is not anywhere near as full as it should be and could be. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?